Employee, all employees, and should be required to pay for this if they want the man to present a tax with a doctor's release to go back to work.
I never heard about that. Is that a new practice for the...
No, this is not the rule. This is not the railroad industry of the company.
Maybe for a spell?
Would it be that the reason they do that is they want to find out whether they really sick or not?
Without any intent or attempt to counter-propose solutions to problems or enter into a meaningful dialogue about the problems or proposed solutions. Although we don't claim to be mind-ready, it appears obvious that some public employers have no intention of good faith bargaining. Rather, some employer representatives seek to force local unions to present anywhere from 30 to 60 items before a fact finder at a cost to the local union treasury of several thousands of dollars. Fact finding is unique to the public sector. It is not found in the National Labor Relations Act. And if both unions and public employers make every reasonable effort to reach agreement during face-to-face bargaining and through mediation, perhaps fact finding can serve a purpose in helping to resolve those last few issues. But in far too many instances, it has been used as a delaying tactic and an unsatisfactory substitute for real good faith bargaining, and has resulted in unnecessary costs to both local union treasuries and the public coffers. Senate Bill 231 may be a simplistic solution to a very real problem. The Public Employees Standing Committee believes that if fact finding is no longer automatic and mandatory, the parties will have far more motivation to resolve their differences in face-to-face bargaining. There may, of course, be easier solutions to this problem. We would be most happy to defer to the wisdom and innovation of this committee to design a real and fair solution. Now, we have, Mr. Chairman, worked on an amendment, and I will read that, and Mr. Brewer has a copy of this. And it will be added in, change in subsection 2, paragraph 3, and add, or if fact finding is not initiated, 30 days have elapsed since the completion of 15 days of mediation required by OIS 243.712, and then on into the rest of the bill, rest of the law. And so we realize that this wording should be worked out, and we would hope that you might refer this to your subcommittee on.
I am going to get that subcommittee on.
Thank you.
Anything further on this bill? Any questions? If not, thank you, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Any further witnesses on Senate Bill 231? If not, I'm going to appoint a subcommittee composed of substitute guests who's going to work with whoever. Do you want to work with him, Bill? And anyone else, any representative of the public employees? Do you want to work with him then? Okay, fine. About to stop it. That would end the hearing on 231. Is there anyone, Bob, did you not wish to speak on 428? We have that in the subcommittee. Why don't you talk before the subcommittee?
Did you have an inquiry number on
that? On
431.
331, no, we should have had someone. I want my friend from the school board to the Oregon School Board Association. Would you give your name for the record? Okay, sir. And on this other one, too, on 428, we have Bill Price and
Mr. Henry.
And Mr. Henry, so we have the employer as well as the employee representative. Is there any one further one of the tests on the bill? If not, the third day is changed. I hope you enjoy it. Oh, we have two bills here to introduce. If there's no, let me read them. Limits limited to side for the compensation grant for agriculture classification of 7.5 at the sector for fine relief efforts to federal regulations contained in statute that says relating to essential property insurance. And the other was relating to labor. I didn't hear who are these requested by? Is this the FLCIA requirement?
Yeah, one can't find it
there. Any objections to these?
How does one find it there?
How
does
it go on with the phone? It's 7.5 per 100. That's the way to find it. So then we're going to have a work session on 233. Oh, I see,
yeah.
Okay, let's both of you come up here. Okay. We have a point of the testimony, and the testimony based by you can visit with the testimony. We have a good chairman there, Senator Phil.
Senator
Phil,
Okay. If you reduce that front page, press one down to one page, you're done.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, thank you, yeah, my name is Ben Duda. I'm the Assistant State Legislative Director for the United Transportation Union. We represent most of the people operating the trains in the state of Oregon. Okay, a prepared statement there, I believe, which the Secretary just signed out to. We feel that any time an employer requires a service or a tax-related responsibility of its employee, that the employee should be reimbursed for his out-of-pocket monetary expenses. This bill is designed to address this set of claims. If you or I would be required to have a medical examination or a certificate of good health from a physician to return to a job that we currently have, then whatever is taxed is incurred by us as an employee will be covered by the employer. We respectfully urge your vote for passage of this fair and just peace legislation. So thank you, and we welcome any questions that you may have.
Any questions?
Yeah, you really don't mean pre-employment, do you?
No.
You're asking about a job. They're talking specifically about you have a job, okay. That you're off sick. The employer says you cannot come back to work until you receive a certificate of good health or a spare fitness from your medical doctor. Then the employer will be required to pay for this medical examination. This thing that a man's already lost here 4 days of work, and this would just be an added financial burden for him.
The case has been made for that, I think, very well. You've made it well.
Thank you.
That Mr. Carson as well earlier. But I think the language in that first section, one of the sub-ones, doesn't make it clear that it's that they're accepting the pre-employment service. And so I think we might need to do that in the meantime.
I would say that for any employer to require an employee, so in order for you to be an employer, you must already have hired that person. Is that not correct?
Well, I don't know, sister, whether the language really intends that or not. I think there's enough confusion about it. Now, that's just the way that he's an attorney. Is the language sufficient to take care of that or not?
I think it's enough.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We went to legislative council on this, of course, we asked for a little clarification just because we want to be very specific about this.
And very specific about it.
Yes, they did, sir. They certainly did.
Like Senator Hume, for instance, has indicated that they're not your problem for them.
Yes,
and
I would
say they're available, too, and get through before
them. I'd be more than happy to also be a part of our subcommittee.
Probably.
If possible.
So let me ask another question. Now, we had testimony from Mr. Hume, who was representing a different kind of employer, and he said that for a lot of the workers in the hotel and motel industry, they have to, because of state requirements, they have certain kinds of health examination. And if it were a state requirement, that wouldn't affect your industry, that there are no state requirements that force you to have health examination.
Not at the present time, sir, no.
Okay.
We are worried about some future federal requirements that may come up. It's not in the future, but maybe within 10 years or so, it may affect us along these lines.
Okay, that can be. And if it's federal requirement, well, we couldn't do much about it anyway, probably. But with regard to that particular instance, if we had an amendment where the president would have left the state required the examination, something like that, would that be acceptable?
No, I have no problem with it, Mr. President.
Mr. Cass,
yes.
In light of what we just learned here, that this bill is not intended to cover pre-employment examination, if memory serves me, a pre-employment type of examination.
Before you
work on the This bill doesn't require the employer to pay a pre-employment medical examination. Is that correct?
That's the way we like to have the bill.
That's what they want. That's what they want. It doesn't read that way.
I thought that perhaps only one of them would be with Hardin here.
Yeah, it doesn't mention that way. It's really fast that they need to make the language.
Yeah.
It doesn't intend to cover this pre-employment, but I think it does.
If you include the language, doesn't employer there on line one, would that help anything, Austin?
Yeah, you got a subcommittee meeting. I think it's close, I feel that.
Hello, Bob.
Okay, go ahead, Bob.
Tell me, Brian, my name is Colorado. I'm a member of the committee. My name is Robert Green. I'm the regional legislative director of the Brotherhood of Loyal and Loyal Church. With offices at 1515 Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C., and 1914, I think 22nd Avenue, Fort Morgan. That represents a wide variety of people working in the railroad and railroad industry. Clerks, stenographers, agents, attorneys, stockups, dummy-stock workers, etc. We are in full support of the Senate Bill 428. The reason for our support is due to the fact that the employees we represent are being forced to see a doctor when they lay out sick due to a brief and non-serious condition and incur needless expense. We feel that no practical purpose is served by requiring an employee to see a doctor and incur fees for issuance of a certificate that he is sick to obtain stability or that he should see a doctor at all due to a brief and non-serious condition such as a flu or a stomach upset. This practice is continued not only as to the already high cost of health care, but also penalizes busy doctors to see a patient who does not need medical attention. With so many sick patients who are not in need of medical attention, it's not asked our doctors to take time from their schedule for this kind of activity. We do not believe that an employee must see a doctor on the first day of sickness, or even that each sickness requires a doctor's care at some point during sickness. However, if an employee requests that the employee see a doctor, that employee should pay for the cost of the examination. Senate Bill 428 will take care of this problem. We technically ask for your support. In regard to pre-employment examination, doesn't the present statute cover that?
I think it should cover it, Mr. Lehman.
I think that the custom of every employer to pay for a pre-employment is a physical examination.
That's what
I'm saying. I'm not sure there is a statute that covers that.
It is.
I think they should, though. If it's demanded. Is there anything further?
Well, maybe we don't need to change it. If it is the custom, I love it.
It is the custom, then I
excuse me, in Ireland, actually, it is the custom, I love it. We have to pass the fairly rigor, the physical examination, and the employer does pay for it.
I think it's possible for whatnot to also pay when they come into a certain doctor to have to pay for it.
Anything further in this bill?
If not, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Well, I apologize for being late for the day.
We're glad you came. Is there any other question? Very great. No one has signed up for that. Can you see the amendment? Would you
We have like the copies and we've got the bill of
Okay, there's nothing further to come to us. Maybe we'll drink this over again.